Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back. Another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here to have another conversation that I'm hoping helps your business grow. Now, look, we're all here. We're all trying to build something big. We're all trying to build something bigger than ourselves. And in order to do that, we've got to build a culture and a company that extends past ourselves. So how do you do that? That's $1 million question, in some cases, $1 billion question, and it's what I'm going to be having a conversation about today. And before we get too far into it, I do need to let you know that today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably, and doing it within a culture that has a purpose-driven way about it. Now, with me today, I've got Bill Brandmeier. Now, Bill is the VP of Community Relations and Impact and also the founding executive director at ShareWaves. Now, ShareWaves is powered by Sports Radio 810 WHB. For those of you not in Kansas City, that's one of our main AM sports talk radio stations. It's been around. I've been listening to it for over 40 years. And ShareWaves is a public charity that works to enrich young lives with the power of sports. We're going to talk about all of that. But first, let's welcome Bill Brandmeier. Bill, welcome to Startup Hustle.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm honored to be a part of the Startup Hustle. What an incredible podcast you've created and just sharing this incredible information. Being an entrepreneur, it's a lonely game, and having someone like you to kind of lean on and listen to and help guide is really a strike in the right direction. So thanks for what you do.
I appreciate it, and it's grown. Much like I mentioned, it's grown past myself. I do want to take a second to thank the other hosts that we've added: Lauren Conaway, Andrew Morgans, my often co-host Matt Watson, and soon to be hosting new and upcoming episodes, Roy Scott from Healthy Hip Hop. Now, Bill, I've known you and your family for a little bit. Our families have been around Kansas City for, oh man, like 100+ years and all of that. And you've had a great opportunity to, you and your family, you have been around some of the most successful entrepreneurs that Kansas City has, from Ewing Kaufman to your own father and different folks. And, you know, before we get into that, let me give you the mic and let's get a little bit about your backstory. Folks, strap in. This might take a little bit because we've got a lot of exposure to a lot of really awesome stuff here. So, Bill, do you want to start?
I appreciate it. I'm one of 8 kids, crazy, incredible parents that just wanted to always have a big family. And my dad started off early on in his life being a butcher. He was a Kansas City butcher, worked for different meat packing companies, worked his way through Rockhurst College, got a degree, went out and started selling for a small little startup here in Kansas City called Marion Laboratories. And he kind of worked that into a really amazing career. I can remember as a young kid going over to Ewing Kauffman's house and just sitting at his, it felt like as a kid, as at his feet, listening to him articulate what it was he was trying to do with Marion Laboratories and kind of growing up in that culture. We were referred to as Marion kids because of the special culture that they created at that organization. And my dad was really mentored by Ewing Kauffman. Shortly after, experiencing some success, he went out on his own and started his own meat business here in Kansas City and then got in the restaurant business. And by the time he was 35 years old, my dad had 8 kids and he was bankrupt, lost everything. We struggled to, keep jeans and clothes on us. I can remember as a young kid, with my brothers and sisters really struggling through the whole process of what my dad was going to do. He went back to Ewing Kauffman, and asked him for a sales territory because he knew he could make enough money for his family and provide for us if he sold. And Ewing sat him down and told him that if he was ever going to learn how to run his own business, he had to invest himself in marketing and in product management and understanding the soft side of how you develop a company and a culture. And it's not all about sales driven. There's this market analysis and market research and understanding of the customer and the customer needs that go way beyond your ability to talk your way through a sales call. And, with that, he went back into product management, came up on the marketing side. He had the sales background. Pretty soon, he was the president of a subsidiary for Ewing Kauffman. Ewing Kauffman asked him, it was a $50 million sub business for Marion Laboratories. My dad did an evaluation of the business. He told Ewing to sell 95% of this company. There's a $5 million product line that, he felt like needed to be sold. And my dad decided to buy that product line. And so in 1985, he started off doing his own thing with his with his marketing background. He created Metaflex, which was the company that produced antiseptics to kill bacteria on the skin. And he grew that business over the course of the next 20 years to really meet the needs of healthcare, eventually taking a product through the FDA to get approval that revolutionized skin prepping in healthcare. And now any hospital that you go to in the United States, they use a product called ChloraPrep. It replaced iodine and alcohol as the primary skin prep for all of healthcare's procedures. And the reason why is because the antiseptic did a much better job of protecting the patient from infection. Really cool story, incredible business. We grew the product line for about 8 years while we had it. Eventually realizing that in order to get the product out into the marketplace, we needed to get it into the hands of a sales force that could really mobilize and push this into places within healthcare that we couldn't reach as a small company. And we sold in 2008, we sold the business to Cardinal Health. And since then, it's been about 12 years now. My family has been looking for ways to impact the city in a lot of different ways. And we've invested in a lot of different areas, invested in our city, trying to make sure that Kansas City is our home for the rest of our lives. And this is where we raise our families. And my family is just in love with Kansas City and trying to do good with what we have.
Yeah. And so, so are we. And I'll be, so if you're from Kansas City, you've heard of Ewing Kauffman, and a lot of people know Mr. K as he's known, because he was the owner of the Kansas City Royals, as in the Major League Baseball team, Kansas City Royals, and the complex that the Royals and Chiefs play at is the Kauffman Sports Complex. And it goes a lot deeper than that, because once again, and I'm setting up a little background, because the believe it or not, the lion's share of our listeners are all from outside Kansas City. So I try to set some context. Thanks for listening. I mean, we get people from 190 countries. So I sometimes have to tell a little Kansas City story and remind people that we're not just cowboys and cows, because there's a real city here, which people ask me when I travel internationally. So now, Mr. K and Kauffman, and he ran a very successful pharmaceutical business and medical supplies, and that was what your family branched into. But you know, Mr. K left a legacy for entrepreneurs here in Kansas City, and most notably known from the Kauffman Foundation, which lives in perpetuity and does amazing things for entrepreneurs in Kansas City, that does a lot to support different organizations, whether it's as a donor or providing, you know, literal stuff that people, that entrepreneurs participate in. And, you know, and there's so many people that have participated and continue to participate in the Kauffman Foundation and be involved with it, along with other things that run parallel to it, you know, other successful, we'll almost say like patriarchs of entrepreneurship here in Kansas City. You know, you know, Barnett Helzberg reaches out and does a lot of different stuff. And there's all these things that have continued to, like I said, run parallel, run with, and do so much stuff that has made my hometown and where my family's from. And, you know, we have a great love for Kansas City, but so proud of the startup and entrepreneur scene. And I feel like so much of that wouldn't be where it is if we didn't have organizations like those that get people started early. You know, I mean, they work with young kids and adults, and it doesn't matter if you're six or you're 60, that these foundations and companies reach out and have an impact. And much, you know, one of the things, and this is what we'll get into, is talking about that purpose-driven culture, is Mr. K was really known for that, is having this amazing culture and building companies the way that they need to be built. I mean, and is that something that you were witnessing from, you mentioned being part of the kids and the crew at a young age? I mean, where did you start to notice that?
Well, it's no doubt that the systems that have been created in Kansas City comes directly from Ewing Kauffman, and what Wendy Gillis, the head of Kauffman Foundation, has created is the preeminent foundation in the United States on entrepreneurism and promoting, and the fast track has been amazing. Early on, I can remember, you know, the stories being told of how Ewing would interview the wife. It was a really important interview to have the salesperson come in and have the, you know, have that interview and know that this was the right candidate for the job. But the husband or wife was just as important to them. And obviously the culture back then was different than it is now. And I don't want to, you know, even get into that kind of, you know, discussion about what was right or wrong, but it for Ewing, it was a matter of they were hiring a family, and he wanted the family to understand that when someone went to work for Marion Laboratories, they were dedicating themselves to a really incredible pathway into a career of success, but it was going to take a lot of hard work and they were going to be asked a lot. And if they were going to be asked a lot, he thought it was really appropriate to interview both sides, you know, the whole family, because this was a commitment to their company. And I can remember that as a kid. Like I said, I can remember sitting in a room with Ewing Kauffman and him holding court, you know, talking about the culture that he wanted to have and that he had built. And, you know, you mentioned Barnett Helzberg. He was one of Ewing Kauffman's best friends and, you know, hit the hemp, you know, Helzberg entrepreneurial mentorship program. It has, you know, impacted countless entrepreneurs in Kansas City. And, you know, one of the great things that people always talk about Ewing Kauffman is how many millionaires he created through his, you know, his process, through his company and through his outreach. And, you know, I'm certainly one of the fortunate ones that got to be associated with him and blessed to be in the family that I'm in. Not only blessed because we're a family that is built on love. We love one another. We hold each other accountable and we're open and honest and authentic. If you've ever met a Brandmeier, you know that we talk, you know, we're not trying to cover anything. I mean, we are our warts. We are who we are. But that really came through because, you know, early on in my life, I watched my dad, you know, work for a company that had a purpose as its primary piece of its culture. So it was awesome.
You know, we talk about purpose-driven, and I think a lot of people don't, you know, there's so much value in this, in the purpose-driven attitude. So what does that even mean? And, you know, it was about a year and a half ago when I truly, honestly, you know, this is, I don't want to say it's a brand new concept to me, but it was about a year and a half ago when I really wrapped my arms around it, because I was at the CEO retreat last year. here that's held by the Kansas City Tech Council. And there was a speaker talking about a purpose-driven life. And the purpose, a purpose-driven life is good for the employee, it's good for the company, and it's also good for the customers and clients of the company. Because when people wake up every day and they feel like they have a purpose, that they're not just a cog in a machine, or, you know, like, hey, I'm just a body. I'm just, you know, you remember that old, the Jetsons cartoon, and George Jetson would come home and he'd be like, oh, I worked for Cogswell all day. And all I did was I pushed that button 7 times. And that was like his whole purpose. And it felt very shallow and hollow. So the idea of a purpose-driven life is the understanding that what you do in an organization does in fact matter. And it is important. Now, companies that have to truly have a purpose-driven attitude have remarkable success when it comes to all sides. They have much higher retention rates. Their clients and customers report a very, very, like an astonishing, like level of success and happiness. And it's the idea. And so we started embracing that at Matt Watson and I's company, Full Scale, for our own employees. And we started. And so with that, we were suggested to be obsessed with the client success. Now, that could be different in your company. In our case, we're a service provider. So was that a similar attitude that Mr. K had and what you grew around is like that? By the way, being obsessed with the success doesn't mean sacrificing your own happiness. It means just caring about what you're doing and having pride and ownership.
Yeah, I think, you know, if the personal journey that, a purpose-driven life, you know, trying to figure out what God has blessed us with, the talents that we have to utilize to make this world a better place. I think we're all on that journey in one way or another. Either we're ignoring it and just kind of living our lives without noticing it, or we're investing in it and really trying to capture, you know, what is it that I'm good at? What are the things that about me that I should try to, you know, work on and make a, you know, change to make myself better? How do I become a better dad? How do I take the mistakes I've made and rework them so that the next time I face that adversity, I can find success? So, certainly the purpose-driven life personal journey is a part of a corporate purpose-driven culture. I think it's really important for an entrepreneur to kind of invest a little time and energy into understanding what it is that they're all about and what they want to do to make the world a better place. You know, Ewing Kaufman knew that what he wanted to do was he wanted to meet doctors where they were at, and he wanted to make sure that the products that he was delivering, made a difference in the lives of the people that they were serving and selling to. And he built his whole company around that. In our experience as a family, not only did I'm one of 8 kids, we all worked for Metaflex. So my dad, you know, created this entrepreneurial opportunity and we all went to work for him. And things turned, the tables turned for all of us at Metaflex when we decided that we were there to save lives. We were there to save people's lives. We had antiseptics and things that helped healthcare workers prevent infections that killed people. And so it was to arm yourself with that kind of motivation to go out and make a sales call. You're looking at these infection control doctors and infectious disease practitioners and different nurses and people that do these tasks, and you're showing up to save lives. It really positions your sales call in a whole different way. And it led to an incredible amount of success. It helped to have a great product. You got to have a great product. And I think that's what, you know, you found with your developers. You're investing in the customer's product. That has to be the first thing you think of. You can't think of your own, you know, the developer's own pathway. You have to invest in your customers that way. And I find that really a special thing that you guys have done, and probably the reason why you're successful.
Well, it has to do, for us, we want a triple win. You know, we want to win for the client, because if the client isn't winning, they're not going to stay a client. But with us, you know, one of the imperfect things about our business model is actually us as people, because we all have different interests, skills. We have our strengths. We have our weaknesses. You talk about what can I work on? How do I improve? And how can I make a difference? Well, all of those are answered with doing what we're passionate about and embracing it. Now, you talk about, we're discussing how to create a purpose-driven culture, and you talked about, you know, working at Metaflex, and you're working to save people's lives. And, you know, and you can look at Metaflex. I mean, these are surgical products. These are, you know, and some of these, I don't know what a lathroscopic instrument is, but I know that it's used for something that matters. And that's it all starts with your own perspective on what you're trying to do.
Right.
And when I say that, like, so if that salesperson at Metaflex shows up and says, I sell widgets, because by the way, when you go to business school and you're in any class, the Acme Corp sells widgets.
Widgets, right.
We all learned that. Yeah. But here's the thing is, so they're immediately conditioning us to look at, well, we all work for Acme Corp and we all sell widgets and it's boring and who cares? And I'm here to make a sale and earn a commission. And that's not purpose-driven.
Right.
And you know, and you know what, guess what? Most people unfortunately show up to their jobs and they work for Acme Corp and sell widgets or make widgets or market widgets. And it needs to go a step past that if you want to have a purpose-driven culture. And look, you'll change the face of your entire company if you can take this approach, and you have to mean it. And you know, that's the thing, is like, and in Metaflex's case, hey, we're doing things that make people's lives. And it could be as simple as like, okay, here's something that is a hip replacement. And you can look at that as a widget made by Acme Corp, or you can look at that as something that legitimately changed someone's life. Like, right. I mean, if you have ever been around someone that needed something like that, and now all of a sudden they got it, you're like, oh my gosh, it's absolutely amazing. And are those actual real life tangible examples of how you believe that would be applied in the businesses you've been around?
Well, I'll tell you, you talk about purpose being something that impacts the bottom line. You don't set out to create a purpose-driven strategy in hopes that it's going to profit you, you know, better. Most entrepreneurs wake up every day trying to keep the lights on. You know, they're not thinking purpose. They're thinking that if I don't make this sale today, I'm not going to be able to pay my people on Friday. So it takes a really hard step back to be able to institute some sort of purpose-driven cultural, you know, shift, if you haven't started that way. But incredibly, you know, the people that have that innately, that bring it to the table, and can instill that in the people that they, you know, hire and train, they end up benefiting. That the stats are really clear. You mentioned them. I mean, it's pretty clear that the people that found their company on a purpose, trying to make this world a better place, you know, end up being more successful.
How do you do that? Like, what are some of the things that, you know, and it's because here's the thing, let's be real here, Bill. It's easy for us to say, hey, you got to get everyone to wake up and care.
Right.
But that's a lot harder than I was talking the other day. I was telling someone that the moment that I 10 years ago, I had a light bulb moment where I let go of the fact that my employees would ever care about the business as much as I did. And, you know, that's okay. I mean, cause I care a lot. I mean, when you own it, you have a vested interest in it. But at the same time, you know, I try to find ways to let the people that you got to have in my opinion, you got to have a way for the people that are involved with it to share in the wins and to really understand that. Where do you start?
Well, my personal journey has a lot of personal struggle and a lot of overcoming personal struggle and attempts to make myself better every single day. You know, 22 years ago, I finally took the last drink that I pray I will ever take the rest of my life. I'm sober. I've worked 12 steps multiple times with multiple sponsors, and that whole experience, you know, drives you into this level of you know, understanding your strengths and weaknesses, really diving into to try to figure out what you're good at and what you're not good at, what God would, you know, help, you know, help guide you through, you know, kind of making that transformation. The fourth step is all about taking an inventory. And I think if an entrepreneur has the time and the ability to sit down and take a real strong inventory of who and what their business is and what their, you know, what their goals are, they can establish some goal of benefiting the world, making the world a better place. And that's where you kind of have to start. What is it that I have that I, you know, can use to make the world a better place? With us, we had a line of antiseptic skin preps that did a better job of killing bacteria on the skin and lasted for 48 hours and prevented infection from growing. It was pretty clear that when a hospital switched to our product, they had lower infection rates. We were able to prove that clinically in study after study after study. We shattered the gold standard of skin prepping. Iodine was used for 45, 50 years as the primary skin prep throughout healthcare. It's like trying to replace Q-tips with something better. You have to really shake the foundation of healthcare in order to get doctors to let go of what they've been using for 40 years. But with evidence and with clinical research and with equipping our sales reps with the right messaging, we were able to do that. And I think any company that starts off trying to think, you know, how can we create purpose within our organization, they have to start with some sort of inventory of who and what they are and what they're good at.
So let's talk for a minute about ShareWaves and what you're doing there, because you know you talk about creating giving back, and I feel like ShareWaves is possibly something you've created because you've seen so many other mentors and people around you create things that, well, with an intention to last. I mean, right. Now Mr. K hasn't been with us for what, 30 years? is that about right?
Yeah, I think 88. Yeah, 30 years
in that ballpark, right? Yeah. And I mean, you're looking at things that are, I mean, lasting and still impactful. So creating that legacy item and doing something that it's either bigger than you. And by the way, if you want to do something that is, quote, truly meaningful, now I'm not saying that you really, it's got to extend past your own ability to do that, but you know, we can not get too far off track. So what is ShareWaves, and how are you creating some purpose in and around that organization?
So when we sold the business, we were all kind of figuring out what the rest of our lives were looking at. And I have pursued trying to build something for the last 12 years. I've opened and closed 4 restaurants. I thought it was a good idea to have a major music festival here in the Midwest. That failed. I have tried to create a nonprofit that helped other nonprofits with their marketing and use my marketing expertise to try to help nonprofits grow and change. And I did that for 8 years. I established a nonprofit called Casey Creative. We basically helped. We were an agency that provided marketing services for nonprofits. And we created a lot of videos, built some websites, tried to establish ourselves, could not get the funding we needed. I self-funded this thing for 8 years. The best thing we did was a radio broadcast once a week called Casey Cares. We're on the radio 3 o'clock every Monday afternoon for an hour. We were on 1510 AM. No one listened to us, but we interviewed nonprofits every single week, 3 different nonprofits, let them tell their story, let them engage with the community, hopefully creating some kind of content that they could push out through their social media. That experience showed me that there was a huge opportunity to try to do something special with Union Broadcasting 810 WHB. Their sports talk radio station here in the Midwest, they basically dominate it. For 21 years, they've been the dominant sports talk radio station, have relationships with all the major teams, athletes, everything. I sat down with their executives and I said, I think we could create a foundation that impacted Kansas City in a big way if we just single focused our foundation they've had foundations in the past. They were jack of all trades, serving all different kinds of messaging, all different kinds of nonprofits. And so we set out to create an organization that focused on using sports for good. And you know, we naturally kind of fell into youth sports because when I did the research on what was happening in youth sports today, I found out that 70% of all kids quit youth sports by the age of 13. That's 70% of all of the kids, 35 to 40 million kids play sports up until the age of 13. And at 13, as they go into high school, they decide they're either not having fun, they're not good enough, or someone's told them that they should be doing something else, or they're going to play an instrument, you know, go into theater, do debate, play chess, all of those great options, obviously. But there's a large majority of kids who just drop out of sports and miss out on this incredible place to learn life skills that propel them into a successful life. And if you ask anyone that has experienced high school and college sports, they will tell you whether they were, you know, ever going to make it to the league or not, ever going to make it, you know, it, as a profession, that what they learned by being a part of a team, by setting goals, by creating opportunities to fail and learn from those mistakes, by having a mentor at their side, helping them build confidence and understanding, help them listen, help them speak with confidence. These are all things that that sports gives us as a society. And there are 70% of kids that are dropping out at age 13, missing out on those opportunities. So it was just a natural that we would create a foundation that was focused on trying to advance opportunities for kids to play sports. Then as I dug in, I realized that the haves and the have-nots, well, there was a huge gap, and that there were kids within our city that weren't just missing out on sports because they were choosing not to do sports. There's an access problem. There are barriers to getting kids involved in sports in our city that shouldn't be there. And, you know, one of those biggest barriers is transportation. And you know, the other one is, you know, getting kids into an environment where they can grow and learn with a coach that understands how to impact a kid. And so those are two areas where Shareways feels like they can do a lot of work. We can create opportunities for kids to get to sporting events and to find their ways to enter the right leagues and into the right games so that they can be on the field and play. And, you know, I can go in and talk about the impact youth sports has on our society and everything that it does. I can also talk about some of the negatives in youth sports and how we need to really seriously think about how we're treating travel sports and the professionalization of sports and all of that. But really, the bottom line is that there are kids in our inner city, especially with COVID. COVID has made the haves and the have-nots, you know, that gap has just increased exponentially. Not only because of there's just the dire situation that is in under-resourced households, but you know, just the fact that we've also, you know, had to shut down sports for a temporary period of time, and now the uptake is still controlled by social distancing and all the different rules that we have to follow in order to keep our society safe. And so it's just a natural that Shareways dives into this issue and starts trying to make a difference.
Yeah, I've been around sports my whole life, and, you know, honestly, I was average to slightly above average at best. I was blessed with being tall. I was blessed with being tall. That was about all I had. I didn't have a whole lot going for me past that.
I was quick and tenacious. People hated me.
You know, the thing that's important about sports, and all right, so I'll just kind of jump forward. I love hiring people that have a history of having played team sports. And I love or people that have been involved in the military, and I'll take both. If I get both of them, I'm great. And the reason why is okay. Look, if you want to grow as a professional, as an entrepreneur, as a business or a leader, you have to be able to be coached. You have to be able to take feedback. And then you understand, like you were mentioning, the team mechanics. And one of the things we're so big at Full Scale. So, you know, we have Full Scale US and we have Full Scale in Cebu. And what we try, you talk about that purpose-driven lifestyle is, you know, we all work for each other. And, you know, I hate it when my employees are like, "Hey boss," I'm like, "Who are you talking to? You know, I work with you. You don't work for me. You work with me." And with that team sports mentality is especially here, because we do a lot of the sales and different stuff that involves a lot more intimate relationship with our clients. We don't care who puts the points on the board. Like, in many ways, we push the culture in which you have, you know, like, the assist is more valuable than the score. It's easy to put the ball in the bucket if the ball's already up there by the rim. You know, like, "Hey, I just tapped it in." It was harder to get it up near there. And then I'll give you an example. So our chief marketing officer, who also owns Mixtape the Game, which we've invested in, he was a sergeant in the Army, and his job was to pack parachutes. So when I went to hire someone, I'm like, "Okay, so you're reliable, I'm assuming." And he goes, "Yeah, because in that job, if you're not, they actually put you in jail." And so, but you look at that level of, you know, the thing is, and I was never in the military, but I'll tell you what, the employees that I've had that were, they're on time. They're structured. They understand. They're like, you know, those things. And it's the same thing with sports. It's like, you don't need to always know why you're doing it, but you need to know who you're doing it with and what we're trying to accomplish. And there's a lot to be said with that. And I'm not taking a shot at people that didn't play team sports, but I've had a couple employees that they're like, "Hey, I was a cross country guy." Now, those people had an endurance and a mental skill, but oftentimes didn't have, it was very singular. And so, you know, it made them good at different things, but really in the end, I mean, still this day, the most impactful employees that I've had were involved in one of those two things. So I commend you for what you're doing there. And you know, here's the thing. It's tough. Like, it's amazing how hard it is to just give stuff away on some things.
It's difficult, and it's an area where there are a lot of people that are trying to meet needs of kids throughout the city, and so you have to be able to collaborate and understand that there's different purposes and different things that are working to, and you know, how do you create alliances that do good, and how do you collaborate with organizations that are already working towards stuff. I have an incredible relationship with Dred Scott and the Boys and Girls Club and everything that they're doing, and you know, he's transformed that organization, even though it was already thriving, to impact kids. He's taken it to a different place because that's been his focus for 2 years. We want to partner with him and help him. But there are days when he's light years ahead of me. Like, I would just drag him down, and unless I can come to him with an incredible idea that's going to help him with what he's trying to get accomplished, it's better for me not to bother him, you know, but I need to come up with that idea. How am I going to engage with Boys and Girls Club to impact kids with the power of sports? How do I work with Operation Breakthrough to impact kids with the power of sports? How do I work with Della Lamb to impact kids with the power of sports? Those are organizations that are already impacting kids. City Year, I just got off the phone, you know, talking with them this morning. They're a national organization that impacts kids with this incredible mentorship program. And I talk to them all the time. How do we incorporate a love for sports in these conversations? There's a place for that, but maybe not at the top of their list. You know, I mean, I have to really be my own, you know, find my own ideas to push forward. ShareWaves is a brand new 501c3. We got our 501c3 approval in December of last year. It took us a year to get it. It was one of those things where I didn't think it was going to take that long, but I decided to go through the long form of the 1023, whatever, the IRS, in order to achieve a certain level of public charity standing. We had a plan to do three different events this spring: a golf tournament, a wiffle ball game with another organization called the Battle Within, and then working with Noah's Bandage Project on Bali Lama, which Charlie Hustle is big behind. We were partnering with Charlie Hustle and the Heart of Kansas City Foundation to try to impact. COVID hit. We canceled all those events. We created at-home workouts and virtual training for kids called Ready to Play content. That Ready to Play content drove us through the summer, and you know, just kind of waiting on where's our next thing to do? And you talked about how hard this is. This is hard, you know,
and it's hard for reasons that people wouldn't expect. And that's the thing is, you know, you mentioned like how difficult it can be to give stuff away on some days. Now, look, it's not hard for me to wake up and say, hey, here, I'm going to give stuff away. It's oftentimes the people you're giving it away to, or those that are observing, and, you know, give it away differently. You know, or whatever. And it, you know, it's shocked me because I've always tried to be someone that, I don't know, like give something back and it's not always in the way that you would strategically think about it. Like, so I was in the event ticketing business for 8 years. And at one point, you know, when we would have tickets that would go unsold, that would bother us. So we'd try to give them away to friends or people we know. And it would just blow my mind. People like, can you come drop them off? I'm like, what? Like, you want me to come bring it over to you? You're not even going to like swing by and like make it easy, you know? And that's not even a charitable example. And in your case in sports, and this is what, I mean, and we don't have to get too far off on this, but sports is so different. I'm 45 years old and I grew up in, you know, I played baseball here in Johnson County and in Blue Valley, and we had a 13 game season. And I've got friends that have kids that are playing 65 games and they're playing spring, summer, and fall. And you get kids in eighth grade that need Tommy John surgery. And I'm like, and just that landscape just changed. And honestly, it scares me a little bit because you talk about all these kids that are dropping out of sports. It's because in many leagues and in many ways, we're conditioning them. If they're not, hey, if you're not going pro or you're not going to get a Division I scholarship, then you're wasting your time. So get off the team. And that's not the right way to approach it. Now, would I have liked to have played more than 13 games a year? Sure. But there's no way. Like, I don't understand how these parents and the kids, well, I don't even know how they have the time, effort, and energy to do that. And then you talk about opportunity costs. What other golden things are they giving up? Because you went down a list. You said there's so many things. So I played in band. I did a lot of different stuff and I still played sports, but there's no way I would have been able to do a lot of that if all I did was I mean, like, I'm serious, like 65 games for a fourth grader? Come on. Like, now, that's half a major league season.
Yeah, we're demanding a lot of our kids, and I don't think we're going to change it. It's going to keep being that way.
It works.
It could, but there are national organizations that are focused on youth sports. There's the Health and Human Services put out a national youth sports strategy that includes participation as its primary goal. Participation in sports is good for kids. We can have, a sense that the elite athletes are going to find themselves in a more professional youth sports environment. But really where we think we can do the most benefit, the most good, is in low resource families that struggle with trying to pay $600 to $700 a season for their kid to play soccer or baseball, you know, basketball, any of the sports that are so expensive, and you throw in a pair of shoes and the right shorts and, you know, all the equipment that it takes to play certain, you know, my kid wanted to play lacrosse. I mean, I happened to have the wherewithal to be able to outfit him. He ended up wanting to be the goalie. And so now he needs all these extra pads and I'm spending $400, $500 to make sure my kid is equipped to play goalie for a lacrosse team when he's 11 years old. And it's fine. That's great. That's, you know, but there are kids out there that there's no way they can play lacrosse because they can't afford to get a stick. We need to change that. We need to do something about that. That needs to be something where, as a society, we make a decision to invest in our kids so that they have these experiences with sports that will propel them into a better life. And that's what ShareWaves wants to do. We just want to find partners that are out there that believe like we do, help promote their causes through our radio station. You know, this relationship with 810 allows us to broadcast messages throughout the, you know, city, at least into the sports fans' minds, about what's happening with our kids and what's happening with youth sports. And so that's what ShareWaves is trying to do, is leverage that access to the airwaves and share those airwaves so that we can make a difference in kids' lives.
And for those of you listening, there's a link in the show notes, sharewavesfoundation.org. Now, you know, Bill, here we are, man. We raced through another episode of Startup Hustle. It's like, start talking about the things we're passionate about and the things that make a difference for us.
We need to talk about that.
Well, true. We might have to do another episode. And by the way, it's funny because we're here on Startup Hustle. Your dad who, and I don't mind sharing this because it's on the internet. Your dad who, and Metaflex, who exited to Cardinal Health in 2008 for, you know, just a small amount. It was $490 million, just a couple bucks here and there. One of the bigger acquisitions in Kansas City history. And then given the fact that was 2008, you know, like I know, Watson's Vent Solution exit in 2012 was a big one. And that was only $150 million.
Oh, the backlot cars is just
true. Amazing. Let's actually talk about that for a quick second, because you know that when backlot cars is, and there is an episode in our feed titled Backlot Cars, where I sat down and talked about with Josh Parsons about what we're doing, and we had a simple conversation. We talked about online marketplaces and a lot of different stuff. Now, the day that news came out, I sent him a text and I said, "Wow, man, congrats." And he literally replied, he said, "Actually, if you could thank Watson for blazing the trail for AutoSoft and, you know, automotive software." So you look at it, but here's the thing. It's like Vent Solutions, which my business partner, Matt Watson, was one of the co-founders of it. Like, you talk about how you can plant a flag in a community and it spawns all these different things. So it, in many ways, it made Kansas City, so we have Auto Alert, which is another huge company, Backlot Cars, and all these things kind of spin off of it. And with what Mr. K did, and Metaflex,
Slide Games with the Big Five was just huge for our city, and that's a perfect example of how a city took on purpose and established five big goals for the city and pushed.
What were they? I've never even heard that. That's crazy.
Investing in entrepreneurial energy was one of them. Moving the conservatory downtown was one of them. I mean, it doesn't matter really what they were, Matt. It matters that they were established and we all, you know, got together to try to figure out how to make them happen. Sometimes it's the journey that is the key to the successful endeavor with purpose. It's not what the purpose is. It's how you are trying to achieve that purpose that benefits success. A lot of times entrepreneurs will start off going in one direction with their purpose and their focus on their business, and they have to pivot really quickly into something different. And all of a sudden, you know, Katie barred the doors. The pivot was the perfect thing to do because purpose led them into that space and allowed them to make that shift and prepared them for it. You know, it's one thing for Metaflex to go out with this energy of we're out there saving lives. But when we got to a certain level, we decided we had to change our name. We wanted to go international. Metaflex was already being used by someone else. You pulled up a Metaflex that's not even the Metaflex that I worked for. Nothing to say. I mean, that's just Google, you know. But
Oops.
It's okay. No, it's how it is. But if you know, we, by going through the process of changing our name and establishing who and what we were and what we were trying to do, it changed everything for the company. And all of a sudden we went from a $27, $28 million business to $155 million business in 5 years. And then we sold for, you know, like you said, we had the great exit. I would just say that as we kind of work through this, you just never know where you're going to find yourself. The path for purpose leads you to things that you would never even imagine as a leader. And that's what I tell Chad Boger all the time. I said, we don't know where ShareWaves is going to take us, but it's a journey we have to go on together. And we have to get this whole organization behind this idea that we were going to transform youth sports. If they do that, if they choose to do that as an organization, if each radio show gets behind the idea that we're going to transform youth sports, then all of a sudden we find ourselves in opportunities that we wouldn't have been in normally. And that's how you drive business. And that's how you drive, you know, success.
You know, one of the things that I've always, when it comes to giving, that it was several years ago that someone brought up, and it was actually a Buddhist mentality. It said that the highest form of giving is that without an expectation of return. And, you know, and ever since I had heard that, you know, that's key for the quote, the truly anonymous donor. And, you know, and I've always encouraged people to take that approach. You know, if you give without the expectation of return, meaning like you make a donation and you're not expecting to get something out of it.
It's time, talent, and treasure. It's not just treasure, right? And you're giving of your time every single week with Startup Hustle. And that is leading you into conversations that you would never normally have. And that purpose that you have established in your life that you're going to do the Startup Hustle every week has allowed you to meet incredible people and do incredible things and have incredible relationships and, you know, be successful in your business because it helps.
I've enjoyed it so much. I actually host 3 shows a week now.
There you go.
I'm up to 3 a week and we let some other people take in there, but that's true. You know, it's, and you mentioned that and, you know, we'll wrap up here in a minute, but you know, when we got to, we just had our 400th episode, which passed with no fanfare or special like episodes. At 300, we denoted it, but it was at 300. I talked to my wife and she said, man, you know, you still doing this. I said, it is just so amazing that like, I enjoy it so much because I get to talk to folks like you. Just like you said, just the people that I've talked to that I normally would maybe not have a reason to talk to me or they'd be doing something else. And to have the ability to we created this whole thing, Matt Watson and I, because we wanted to complain about being entrepreneurs, but then past that, we wanted to share the quote, real story of entrepreneurship. Right. And that real story is brutal. What's life like? People are like, what's it like being an entrepreneur or a startup founder? Okay. I often wake up at 3 in the morning wondering if I'm going to go crazy, if I've already gone crazy, if I'm going to go broke, if every decision I've made is wrong. And, you know, like that's it. And then, you know, being an entrepreneur means waking up at 9 a.m. feeling like you're going to take over the world. But at noon, you're ready to give it back. Just take it all, light a match and run away. And then by 3 o'clock, you're back to, oh my gosh, we're about world domination. We're going to do it. It's finally going to happen. So if you can't handle that ride, and by the way, I'll be honest with you, 99% of people I know can't, and that's okay. That's okay. But it is brutal. Like if you have dog years, you have entrepreneur years too. So yeah. I've been an entrepreneur for a decade and a half, and that makes me in stress and anxiety years. I'm like 350, but
you know what though, Matt, you're a leader and that's never going to leave you. And you've been a leader your whole life. So whatever, you know, you've taken what God has given you and you've applied it to your life in a way that allows you to be happy and provide for your family and do the things that you want to do with the life that you have. And you impact people. So that's a really good way to lay your head down on the pillow every night, right? And if you're up at 3 in the morning worrying about what you're going to do the next day, that's because you've got this passion that is driving you to improve every single day. And that's what purpose driven is all about. It's really giving your employees something to show up for every single day, giving them a reason for being, a reason for, when you talk to someone who's a purpose transformation specialist, they'll ask you, what's your why, you know, and it really is, it's a personal why, but it's also a corporate why. And it is harder than you think always. And it's one of those things where even with ShareWaves, you know, we've achieved some level of success. I can't get funding. I mean, I'm in the middle of COVID and I never established a large donor base that were supporting me. And so at this point, trying to ask people to give to something new is really not, that's just not, it's hard. I mean, it's not impossible, but it's hard. We are coming up with a pretty cool campaign. We're going to give away 100,000 pairs of Bomba socks to kids in need throughout the city. And we're going to ask Kansas City to help us do that. So in the next, 2 weeks, I'm announcing a really cool campaign to give away over $1 million worth of Bomba socks to kids in Kansas City. Working with the Community Service League of Greater Kansas City, which was established by Bess Truman in like 1914, and impacting kids with socks, but also raising money for establishing ShareWaves and its capacity to make a difference in this community. And I just wanted to make sure I shared that with everyone and let everyone know that look for this campaign. It's called the Bomba Sock Blast. The Bomba.
Yeah, you can make a donation to ShareWaves at their site, and there's a link for that. But there's one thing, so we usually end the Startup Hustle episodes with Founders Freestyle. I'm going to do that for a second. I wanted to, and I'll hand the mic over to you in a moment. But, there's one thing that, you mentioned that waking up at 3 a.m. and that feeling. It's not because I'm worried about going broke, because I'll always figure that out. I've learned that I know how to make money. It's for me, it's not wanting to let people down. And I think that's if you want to build a purpose-driven culture in your business, you got to build a sense of belief in your people that they believe in you as well. And I think it starts with that feeling. And like, it takes a little bit, but you really have to begin to believe that and know that when you help everyone else get what they want, that you will find that you get the things that you want. And that starts with literally just asking the people that are involved with what you do, hey, what is it that you really want to get? Like, what do you want? What are you looking to get out of life? It's different for everyone. Everyone has a different why with that. So as threatened or mentioned, we end episodes with the Founders Freestyle, and yet another episode of Startup Hustle brought to you by Fullscale.io, where we very much have a purpose-driven culture and are client-obsessed. So reach out and give us a shout. Reach out to ShareWaves and make a donation. Like the 100,000 pairs of socks, that's crazy. I was sitting here trying to think about how big that is, like how much
400 cases of socks. It's
bigger than the room I'm in probably. But so Bill, as in the Founders Freestyle, what's the one thing that you've learned with starting ShareWaves that is a universal lesson for entrepreneurs or business leaders in any community?
Well, that's a great question. I'm really honored to be a part of the show, Matt, and I really appreciate your time. And I'm not sure if anyone's going to get anything out of this, but really, it's.
I ask that every episode. It's okay.
I wake up every day, asking God where would He have me, and trying to figure out if I can navigate my life to show up for that. It's part of my recovery and it's part of what I believe in. But I think what is it I'm meant to be? What does God have planned for me? Where am I supposed to go with this? And I know that I'm white privileged, super blessed, so many things to be grateful for. And my response has got to be service. I've got to find a way to serve this world in a way that impacts it and makes a difference. And ShareWaves allows me to do that. It's not the only thing that I'm concerned about. And if you were to ask me what is my biggest concern in this world today, I would say, outside of raising, healthy, successful kids and being a good husband, it's what's happening to kids during COVID and the mental health issues that are out there and the trauma that they're experiencing and the breakdown in their family, life because of COVID. And I think those are much more critical than getting kids involved in sports, although, we could debate it. But there's a lot of people in pain out there, and entrepreneurs are the ones that solve the problems. We're the ones that think of the solutions. We come up with the ideas. We have the thoughts that other people don't have, and we're driven to try to do something about them. What's really important is to create a culture and a collaborative effort of talented people that you can drive into your vision and into your passion and into your purpose. And that's a little harder to do because you have to set up mechanisms for people to get involved in what you believe in. You have to be able to articulate your purpose in a clear way. And So impacting lives with the power of sports is a great purpose. We're going to impact lives with the power of sports. Well, how are you going to do that? And then how are you going to get other people to join your team to help you do that? Easier said than done. And that's why it's so hard. And that's why I love entrepreneurs, because they problem solve, they figure shit out, and then they move forward and they incorporate talented people into their process. So encourage entrepreneurs to continue to do what they do, and you know, people like you continue to support them and help them navigate this thing, because there's going to be a lot of problems to solve in the next in our lifetime. So
yeah, and I think that's well said. And you know, I'll parlay off that a little bit. And I think that, you know, look at what you're good at, or the platform that you've built, or the different things. And you know, I'll share an example. So, you know, Lauren Conaway, who's has a weekly show on Startup Hustle now, and she's the founder of Innovate Her KC, which is a women's entrepreneurship group here in Kansas City that's grown to 3,500 members. And, you know, like part of my offering to her is like, hey, I could donate to your business, but how about I teach you how to fish in many ways. And Lauren will be the first person to say that she's so busy at being a servant leader that sometimes she stops to ask for a donation and stuff like that. And so I'll give you an example. So I mean, I've got a lot of people that I'm connected to on LinkedIn and Facebook and stuff like that. And I said, Lauren, it's about asking for what you want. So I set up, I said, let me give you an example. And I set up a fundraiser on Facebook, and I said, I showed her how to ask for what she wanted. And the byproduct was we've raised about $2,000 in donations for Innovate Her. And that's just a simple example of, you know, like, look, okay, $100 of that was mine. You know, the rest of it came from a community. So there's you did. Yeah. And, you know, and thank you. And, but you see that's the point so, you know, all you have to do is ask sometimes. So, you know, I want to challenge everyone that's listening, like, how can you ask those around you to chip in, to help? And that, and like you mentioned, and it's time, talent, and treasure. And you don't catch me quoting the Catholic Church every day, which is okay. But that's where I originally heard that, the time, talent, and treasure. But those are three ways that you can provide for any organization. And that's the things that you need at your own organization to get moving. So for those of you listening, go check out ShareWaves Foundation. You can find a link in the show notes. They have a donation tab on where they're at. I think we're going to do a follow-up, because I want to learn about the logistics about how you gave away 100,000 pairs of socks.
Okay.
So with that, I'm going to let you go, and I'll catch up with you after you've given those away. Yeah. Thanks, okay. Bill.
Thanks, Matt. Take care.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.